You're listening to Talking Heads, and this hour on the programme, as we continue our coverage brought to you by PDMS of the run-up to the general election, we're talking to another of the candidates in September's poll. We're joined in the studio by Gareth Kelly, who's standing in the constituency of Mallewan Santon. Good afternoon, Gareth, and welcome to Talking Heads.
How you doing, Stu? It's nice to be here.
Good man. I have to say, before I say anything else, that I am in awe of every of the candidates who's standing for the first time, because you don't really know what you're getting yourself into if you're elected. And I think it's very brave in the Isle of Man, standing up and asking the public for their support.
It's a big challenge, especially with the job I'm doing. I'm trying to do a full-time job and do this as well, so it's a big ask, and I hope that the people see that as well.
Well, tell us a bit more about your background. I think you're a blacksmith by trade, aren't you?
Yes, welder.
A welder?
It's blacksmith, of course. It's welding, though, for metal fabrication.
Yes, good. And do you work for yourself or do you work for somebody else?
I work for myself mainly. I do other jobs for other people, but as a self-employed through myself, really, and a company.
Yeah, that's quite complicated these days, isn't it? TIG welding, MIG welding and all the different...
It does take a bit of brain power to do it and make sure. The actual welding of it is quite easy. It's the getting the fabrication right to make sure it's strong enough and it's not going to snap.
I watch American Chopper, so I know all about metal bending.
Yes, they do some nice designs in that.
And you're only a young fella as well. You're 29.
Yes.
Some people might say that you've not really got enough life experience to be a politician. What would you say to that?
Well, if I haven't got enough life experience by the age of 29, then God help me, because I've done quite a lot in my life. I've seen a lot, and I think I'm ready for doing it. I'm young enough to know what the younger people want,
yes,
plus old enough to know what the older people are needing.
All right, what made you decide to stand for politics this time?
I stood because I personally don't believe that the ones that are in charge know what they're doing.
Oh, right. Well, that's fair.
I think they've let us down in the past. I think with the amount of money we've had coming into this island, instead of doing stuff for politics, they've just gone, write a cheque.
Yeah.
Then it goes away. The people kept happy. They keep getting voted.
Yeah.
It's easy when you've got money.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
When you've got money and you can just write a cheque and they'll go away then. People stop complaining.
And more to the point, if things go wrong, then they just throw more money at it. I've heard from a few people that that's been the way.
It's true. Yeah. You can get yourself out with money. You just keep paying and paying.
So obviously we're going to have a tough time ahead, no two ways about it. However we look at it, you know, 40% down on our national income, we're bound to have tough times, aren't we? How do you think you could help us to solve that?
I think I would bring a different light into looking at how government spend money, where at the moment the people that we do have in charge seem to just write the checks and get away with it. Whether I've been on the breadline, I've started from nothing with nothing. I've had to build everything up, so I know where you have to save money, where you can cut costs and do a job on a budget.
You might be redundant before you start, though, because, you know, the government isn't going to have the money to spend in future. So that's going to happen naturally, isn't it? That they're not going to be able to spend profligate sums anymore.
No, they're not. But the ones that are in charge, I don't think, know how to get to reduce that without cutting big amounts out, without looking at the wider effects. Once again, they're writing checks and get rid of it. This time they'll probably just go, well, let's take $1 million out of that, without thinking of the consequences of where it's going to be hit. And I've had a few people that I've spoke to around the area, and they're saying that the health service is getting hit,
yes,
and the teachers and A-levels, that in a few years' time they're not going to have funding for A-level students.
But, I mean, given that we've got a 40% shortfall in funding, then surely every single area of Manx life's going to have to suffer a wee bit and tighten its belt, isn't it?
Possibly, but at the moment, they've just cut the front lines. They haven't done further up the managerial roles. You don't cut from the bottom, start with. You cut from the top, you find out where you can cut. They shouldn't just be going, we need £1 million off this budget. They should be sitting down and looking and going, where can we save $1 million?
Yes.
That's the difference.
And do you not think they're doing that? Because I might be naive, but I'm fairly trusting of people. And I think that our politicians are generally good-hearted people with the interests of the Isle of Man at heart. Do you not think that they're all sitting down now in the ministries and in the departments trying to think of where they can save money?
They might well be, but from what I'm picking up from people, it's not transpiring down the line. It's all coming out on the front line.
And how would you decide where the money was going to be saved, though? Who's the best person to do that?
Well, it would have to be done as a group, because one person doing it, you'd be a henchman. You'd be cutting and cutting and cutting, and then if you make, you might be thinking you can cut something, and there's nobody there to say no, stop. This might happen. So you would need.
But there's always going to be somebody there, isn't there? Saying, oh no, you can't cut. You know, I mean, everybody's got the fiefdom, so there's always going to be somebody who says, oh, you can't cut it from education. Oh, you can't cut it from health. Oh, you can't cut it from infrastructure. So how do you get by that?
That's true.
What would you do? Would you form some sort of a Tynwald committee to look at spending cuts, or would you bring in external consultants?
I don't think you'd need external consultants as such. I think there is plenty enough people on this island with business experience that you could maybe bring alongside. You might have to give them a fee, but not to the extent of like we have done in the past with English consultants, because English consultants over here are, I think, to be honest, worthless, because they've been trained in a UK environment. Yes. The Isle of Man environment is completely different. Yeah. And there's been very much cases of consultants coming here and basing it on a UK examples.
Yeah.
And it's been completely wrong.
Yeah.
I think we need to start looking more for people in the island that have built businesses up here that know about the island life.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, I'm English, and, well, I was before I became Manx, and you tend to look at things in the Isle of Man and think, well, it's very similar to what I'm used to what I've endured for 40-odd years of my life, but it's also very, very different, isn't it? And I sometimes think that about consultants and experts coming in from the UK to tell us how to do it, and they really don't understand the fundamental differences.
Yeah, there was a company that went bust a few years ago. They come in here and they priced the job. And they priced it on UK prices.
Hello.
Because they just thought that that was the way it was. And then suddenly they're realising that concrete's twice the price, labour's more expensive and everything. And in the end, they went bust because it was a UK influence.
Yeah.
If they'd employed somebody that was Manx and knew the system, it would be totally different.
Yeah.
So I think we should be looking more to the brains of the Isle of Man more than the brains of the UK.
Okay, well, that's not a bad idea.
For local problems and issues in that respect.
Apologies to our listeners for the noises off. I just realised that I didn't have the newsroom fader faded down, but I've taken it down now. All right, now you're a Santon man born and bred, aren't you?
Yeah.
Spent all your life in Santon?
Yeah.
Work in Santon?
Yes.
So have you been out enough to know what the real world's like?
I would say so. I say I worked all my life in Santon. I'm based in Santon. I've worked all over the island for different people. I've met different people. I've worked from people from pensioners to people with millions of pounds. Everybody's the same. People are normal. I think I know enough.
And you live in Santon now?
Yes.
You single, married?
Single.
Right.
I haven't had time for marriage and children yet.
See, there's a growth area, dating sites for the Isle of Man, I think. And you've said that you think that politicians have lost touch with the people. Have politicians ever really been in touch with the people, is the question.
That's quite a good question, actually.
Well, because I think that maybe in years gone by, we were all very deferential about politicians. I mean, like I say, I came from Manchester, and the MPs and members of the Commons were, you know, on a level above us ordinary folk, and we didn't get to talk to them. The beauty of the Isle of Man, to me, is that all the ministers have got the phone numbers in the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody can speak to any of them.
Yeah, I think in the last 10 years, they've lost touch with the people. I think previous to that, when the island was still a big place, when Douglas was a long way away, people needed their MHKs a bit more because the island was smaller. But now, with the island being, it's 2 minutes into anywhere, really, isn't it? 5-10 minutes. You can drive anywhere. The island's small in comparison.
Yeah.
So I just think that they've lost touch with the people. They get in and then they forget about them.
Isn't that, do you not think, doesn't that go with the territory of the job? If you are elected into the House of Keys, then you are going to move in different stratospheres. You're going to be talking to different people. And maybe you do kind of lose touch a little bit, but isn't that because you're looking at bigger issues than potholes at the end of the street?
No, I don't think so. I think somebody that does this job should be able to do both. And if they can't do both, then why are they standing? If they can't take both jobs, then they shouldn't be standing. They need to do both issues. They need to be able to go on a national level. They need to go on a local issue. If they're saying that there's not enough time in the day, well, they should make time.
Strikes me you're a straight talking sort of a bloke. And
very much so.
You're on record as saying that government is carrying too many staff.
Yeah.
On the basis that a lot of people that you're hoping that will vote for you are probably government workers, that's a little bit dangerous.
It is a little bit dangerous, but I think they know from some of the public service that I've spoke to in civil service, they've even highlighted it to me as well, saying that I think there is too many as well. And they're the people that I'm on about, maybe their jobs might go.
Yeah, so, but they're not the ones that think the jobs are going
to
go.
They're not going to think that, no. But I think people need to realise that for the greater good of the island, there does have to be a few job losses.
Yes.
I don't know how the island's gone wrong, because 5 years ago, 2004-05, is the amount of money that we need to spend, that our income would be if we lose the 200 million. In 5-6 years, our expenditure has shot up. So look back to 2005, and were you that badly off in 2005? But because we've had so much money coming in, the government have caused this problem.
Well, looking at it from the other point of view, I wonder about these things, and I think that as a member of the public, I'm probably not privy to a lot of the decisions. I've wondered privately whether or not the government's been spending money like it was water on the basis that they had it, they knew it wasn't going to last forever, so they might as well get it out into the economy while they could.
That's true. But if they'd done it in a more economical manner, instead of throwing it at construction jobs... They've gone hugely over budget for no apparent reason of mismanagement. That's the only way to describe it. Yes, you do have problems in construction and things like that, but not to the extent of the millions and millions. And I think the other reason they've done it is it keeps, if they employ more staff, they keep the job total down off the dole. And then people, they can say, we've only got 300 people on the dole. Aren't we doing a wonderful job?
But doesn't that make sense? Because the fewer people who are at home claiming benefits and allowances, surely that's better for the whole island, isn't it?
It is, while we have the money. Yeah. Now we haven't, and now they've caused this problem where we've got to a point where all them people that have got them jobs are thinking, am I going to have a job? They've bought houses on because they've had the job, and I think it's caused this bottleneck now that we've come to. So at the time, they probably thought they were doing the best for the island, maybe, but money doesn't solve everything. Money causes problems in the end, and this is where we've come to now.
I'm not a financier, and I'm not an economist, and that's why I had Andy Roy in to talk to us in the first part of the programme, to talk about the world global economic crisis. And it just strikes me that these things are never simple, and the worry is that if we end up laying off a lot of public sector workers, we're going to end up with a huge bill in terms of redundancy payments, and I mean, we've heard that this week in the news about the cost of laying people off. You know, we could end up spending a huge amount of money and really destroying the economy, couldn't we?
A lot of people are saying we should go in and go straight in and start wielding the axe, start cutting jobs, kicking them out. I don't think you can do that. I think the way that the government did set out to start to reduce staff numbers by natural wastage and things like that, I think was quite a good idea in respect. I think they're a bit slow on the uptake. And I think we need to just step it up quite a notch now. Not go around wielding the axe, kicking everybody out and going, we've got rid of 10, 15, 20% straight away. We've done our job. The budget's balanced. Because that's going to cause other problems. You can have more people on the dole looking for jobs. It can cause more crime because they've got no money. They'll be losing their houses. So there is a very, very fine line between cutting jobs, balancing the budget, and keeping people in work. So we can't just go in wielding and cutting, because it's just not going to work, will cause more problems. But I think they do need to step it up. I think they need to maybe cut a few more by redundancies.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads. We're talking to Gareth Kelly, who's standing in Maloo and Santon on September the 29th. So you think that it's inevitable almost that jobs are going to have to be cut. You've said that you intend to gauge the views of workers on the ground rather than managers when it comes to cutting waste. That's a bit like asking the turkeys to vote for Christmas, isn't it?
No.
Because the workers are all going to say, yeah, it's the bosses, they're the ones that need to go.
They will say that. But I'm hoping that they will put their differences aside from... That's the boss, we don't like him, let's get rid of him.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
Human nature is that people will point the finger at anybody, won't it? Won't they?
What I was meaning by that, Stu, is not that when you see the workers to see that sack the boss, he's doing all the problems. It's to see where they're wasting money in government. Not of who should be sacked by seeing the workers. Because the ones on the ground, the forefront, the nurses, the doctors, the ground workers and all that, they see it day to day of the waste, the paperwork, and things like that. And you start at the bottom, you get their views, and you see, and they're going, well, we spend on this and we go and do that. We don't know why. And then you make a list up and you go, well, we can go and investigate that and see why they're doing that. And then you work your way up. Because I think if you start from the top and you ask your senior civil servants and your managers, they're going to cover their own. And I don't mean that they're all doing that. So, but I think they're going to cover their own slightly.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get to the bottom of it. I think if you go from the bottom up and go from the top down,
yeah,
in the end, you will find out, you will be able to knock out a lot of the waste.
Are you not in danger, though, of creating an entire industry of people with clipboards, bean counters, to try and decide whose jobs are important and whose aren't?
Well, why can't we do it, the MHKs? Why do we need to employ somebody else to go in and do it?
Are MHKs qualified to do that, to actually do, you know, to decide whether somebody's doing a good job, a valuable job or not?
Some might be, some won't be. So I take your point on that. But it still needs to be done.
Yeah.
However which way we do it.
You say you're not afraid to make difficult decisions.
No.
That can be pretty unpopular, though. How far could you go?
It can be unpopular. If I have to make a bad decision, I'll come to that one in a minute.
A difficult decision.
I'll stand by it. I will make, if it's for the goodness of the island in the long run, I will take that decision and I will stand by it. If it's a wrong decision at the end of it, I will hold my hands up and say I'm wrong and I will take the consequences for it.
None of us could ask for more than that. The only thing is, you want to achieve things with the backing of the people. How can you get the backing of the people if you're making these difficult decisions? Because, you know, people have got long memories.
Oh, I know.
And politicians who cut things tend to not be very popular.
No, I'm not going out for a popularity contest. I know it is by
but
getting
you are, aren't you?
Well, you are. Well, no, I'm not going in it as that. I'm going in it as for them to vote for somebody that's going to do something more than I can speak and look wonderful at them and tell them everything they want to know. I'm going to spend this on that and everything else.
Yeah.
I think this year's election is completely different over the past 5, 10, 15 years, because before they've been able to say we're going to spend more on this, that and everything else, and they've been nice to the voters for it. This time I think they're going to show the men from the boys, so to speak, of what they're actually saying they're going to do and what they could do when they get in, because we have no money to throw at anything. Not until we get the budget down and we get the books balanced. Then they can maybe start thinking, well, we can put a bit more money into here and put a bit over to there. But until they get it down, then we've got to knuckle down, basically. And I'm trying to get the people to maybe understand that times are going to be a bit more tougher this time, that maybe they should start thinking, well, I should stop spending a little bit now, save up for a rainy day just for the next 3 years or so.
I think it was David Cannon who said some probably months ago now that the fact is that none of us have really seen the effect of the fact that we've got no money anymore.
No.
And I wonder whether or not we've had so much money washing around the system that, like I say, the government's been spreading the love and spending it within the economy to keep the economy going. But that they realise that actually it's quite simple for them to pull back the spending to where they were in 2005, to your point,
yeah,
earlier on. You know, the government doesn't seem to be having many sleepless nights. I might be wrong. It might be that Alan Bell and Anne Crane, you know, don't sleep at nights anymore, but they seem to be very calm about the whole thing. Do you think that's just a good PR job?
Or? I would say it's probably a good PR job, because there's no point in them showing out in public, like running around like headless chickens, because that's not going to give confidence to the people. That's in any job of managing or higher authority. You don't show your weak hand, because that's not going to, you're transpiring nervousness to the people and the companies on the island.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, I think they're worrying. I'd hope they're worrying. But like you say, can we scale back into 5 years' time? Would it be that difficult to scale back our spending? Think back to, I know inflation, everything's gone up, and we would theoretically be worse off in our pockets. But in the long run, we'd still have a house, we'd still have our nice things, our standard of living will still be high.
Well, I don't know. I've certainly noticed a reduction in my standard of living over the last 6 months. You know, money is just tighter. There isn't any money left over at the end of the month like there used to be. And that's just because inflation is getting higher and higher. Incomes are all frozen pretty much in most industries, mine,
yeah,
included. I think that people are feeling the pinch. And I think a lot of people have maybe bought houses because money's been very cheap.
Yeah.
All it takes is for that to go up slightly, or for their income to go down because they're having to spend more on food and utilities.
Yeah.
Energy prices going up 20% in the UK, probably a similar number here, I would have thought. You know, it could all go very wrong very quickly, couldn't it?
It could do, yes. But if we start now, and the people start now, then we can avert that.
Have you got any experience of either local authority politics or voluntary experience?
No, I have none at all.
Right. I'm just wondering why you've decided now to stand for politics. You know, you've not got any real background in it.
Reason I'm standing now is, A, because I think that I can do a better job.
Right.
I think I'm down to earth. I've got a brain that I can use. I can see through the red tape and see how to get something done quicker and easier and cheaper than I think a lot of other people. Other deciding factors are Andrew Douglas, who was our MHK. He was standing as well. He was a family friend. And I was a bit young then too as well.
Right. So it's not that the welding job's gone a bit wrong. It's not
that's all. To be honest, I'm actually in a better position now than I was 5 years ago.
Right.
It's not luck would have it. It's unfortunate that at the moment when my company's doing quite well, and I'm just getting over the hill, really, that I'm deciding that I have to do this, but that's because I feel so strongly about it.
And what would you do with the business? Would you close it down or would
No. I work with a few other people. We all help each other out.
Right.
Basically, they would come in and they would do more work for me. So that side of it would still keep going. I trust them. So that would still keep going.
How would you describe your politics? Are you a left-winger, are you a socialist, or are you a capitalist?
I don't know. I've never actually thought about which side I go on.
Oh, that's all right. It's the Isle of Man, so you don't have party politics, but...
No.
You know, I often wonder about people, whether or not they're socialist.
I've never actually thought about it. I want to do good for this island. I want to help this island, and I feel I've got the motivation to do it. Politics in that respect I haven't thought about at all.
Okay, are you standing as a pure independent or are you tying your flag to the Lib Vans or to
pure independent.
Okay, the island can and needs to save money from its budget because we can't get into external debt, we know that. Or it can make more money, that will probably take longer. Are there any opportunities that you see in the Isle of Man that we haven't taken full advantage of?
I think the DED have done quite well in respect of bringing companies over, keeping more jobs in, the likes of that, because they're out every day trying to get more companies here, and that's what we need, more jobs, really, especially now with if we're going to have to cut jobs elsewhere. I think we need to offer a bit more support for maybe the local person trying to set up a new business who's been working for somebody and thinking, well, I could do this better or go on my own. More enterprise schemes. I know that the government do one, but I think I went on it myself 5 years ago, and it is very good. But the financial assistance maybe at the end is more aimed to the very small.
Yeah.
I know there is bigger schemes, but then you have to put a lot more capital in that as well. And at the times, there's not a lot of money about.
Mm.
In the end, I didn't take the scheme. I did the couple of days course.
Yes.
Because the paperwork and the bureaucracy that went with it wasn't worth me taking the grant for it.
Right.
To be honest, it limited my freedoms a little bit. So I decided not to. Would have been nice to have been able to take it. Would have given me a good step.
Well, especially if lots of people are going to be laid off, you're saying that maybe one of the antidotes to that is to give them opportunities to do things for themselves.
Yeah.
And do you see that as a big future for the Isle of Man? I mean, what about things like privatisation? Do you think that government should be running the buses, the Villa Marina, or would you think that those would be better sold off?
On the Villa Marina, I don't think they should be selling them off. You should never sell your government assets, as in building-wise and things like that.
What about the airport? Same thing there.
That one's I haven't really thought too much into that. Something needs to be done with the airport. I think they need to either get the costs down or maybe privatisation on that respect. The buses, I don't think you can privatise the buses because you would lose a lot of services out in the countryside, and the older generation who use it quite a lot might not get out, and then you cause another set of problems with social issues with older generation being stuck in the homes, which is not a nice thing if you can't get out if they haven't got a lot of family. I think there's a good scope to do a lot of work in the buses to reduce the costs in that one, which is it's all been in the papers and we all know about it, and it's on my website, my thoughts on that.
So you're a supporter of Ian Longworth?
In what respect?
Well, in that he's there trying to cut the costs and to into the 21st century.
He is trying to cut the costs and get into the 21st century.
And getting into a lot of trouble for it as well.
He's getting into a lot of trouble for it, but maybe he's doing it I don't know if it's because he's told or is that that's what he's been told to do. But with the way they've just got their extra monies and things for now, it doesn't sound like he's doing that good a job on that respect. But I know that's more to do with the unions and the government. And I think the unions need to start to wake up and smell the coffee a little bit. I know Miss Moffat's going to be enjoying this one now. But she needs to think that all these extra pay rises and what people want are... She's jeopardising people's jobs.
We're out of time. Tell the people of Malou and Santon why they should vote for Gareth Kelly in September.
I think you should vote for me because I'm young, I have fresh ideas, I can see through the red tape, and I'm motivated, dedicated to the job at hand, and I will put everything I have into this job.
Thank you very much for joining us today. No doubt we'll talk again before September.
Thank you very much.